Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What you want to read on holiday, like, was absorbed in
it. It's a navy blazer.
Yeah.
But it's so much more than that.
Yeah. I'll send you the recipe.
That sounds so good.
And I would say, yes, I did know pretty quickly.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's amazing.
You're listening to the Sherlock podcast, your guide to a more stylish life.
Welcome to the Sherlock Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Sherry Andrew, Heather Steele, and Georgina Blasky. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Good. I'm good, thanks. We're a little beige today. We're very tonal. We could be a girl band, actually.
We could be, actually.
How was everybody's weekend? Georgina, how was your weekend?
Oh, my weekend was brilliant because I went to a wedding. I haven't been to a wedding for so long and I was so looking forward to it. It was one that had been postponed from December. So it just, I think anything that's been postponed feels extra special. Quite a lot of fun singing on the dance floor. So my voice is slightly wavering today. But yeah, it was just gorgeous.
Where was it?
It was at the Thames Rowing Club on the river by Putney Bridge.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, it's a really lovely venue. It has a big balcony that looks right over the river.
Oh, lovely.
So kind of as the sun was setting.
I was gonna say, it was sunny on Saturday
going,
as well.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. It was such a nice place to get, you know, to watch people get married.
And what did you wear?
Actually, it was really funny. So I wore this dress from Me and Em, kind of silk pink pleats along the like v-neck and then pleated bodice. Well, I don't know what the term would be. Kind of
like around your midriff.
Yes, all along the front and sort of bust and then sleeves, and it comes in pink and green. So I was wearing it in pink, and then one of my really close friends walked in and she was wearing it in green.
Oh, that's quite nice.
At least it was the green one, not both in the same.
Yeah. And she was doing a reading as well. So I really was so grateful that we weren't in the same colour because she obviously had quite an important role. Anyway, I wore that and it was. I was really pleased with it.
Good. I feel like that's a dress you can dress down as well other times.
Yeah, I haven't done the kind of full colour block. I normally go for patterns, so it was good.
Lovely.
What did you wear, Heather, to yours? Because we had a lot of discussion about...
We did.
Should we rent? Yep. Should we buy? What do we do?
Yeah. Well, Charlotte knows all about this and some podcast listeners from last week. Sorry, I'm back. I'm repeating stuff.
I think people appreciate the update.
Yeah.
We want to know how it worked out. So come on, how was it?
So, yeah, I went through a thing. Like, I ordered a shrimp's dress on the outlet a few weeks ago that was like 80% off, and I was like, yes, and it didn't fit at all, so I sent that back. And then I found a Sister Jane one, which I really liked after our podcast chat last week. But I really liked it, and I do really trust my boyfriend. I'm not making him sound like an ass or anything, but I did just say to him, like, oh, what do you think? And he wasn't 100% all in, because it was very poofy at the back, let's say. It's quite, it didn't, I couldn't tell, because when I looked in the mirror, it was like, you know, quite oversized and large, but the back did kind of really make a statement.
Oh, I like his honesty though.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Rather that than someone just going, yeah, okay, looks great.
Exactly. Yeah, so I didn't get that one, and then was like, yeah, panicking. But yeah, I looked on Her, which is where I rented a silver Ganni, sort of humongous, but slightly not as humongous dress. My boyfriend's 40th a few months ago, so I went back to the same girl and was like, really sorry, need this ASAP. She sent it, and yeah, it was an absolute hit.
So. Good, it was such a pretty dress.
It's
dress.
Really, yeah, it's like silver and a bit shiny, but not really.
It's like a bluey silver, isn't it?
Yeah, with no sleeves, or it can have like little sort of spaghetti straps.
Did you wear it over a top?
Yeah, my grandma had this like black lace sort of top thing, so I wore that over the top. But
And was the wedding fun?
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
So it was at Battersea Arts Centre, which is absolutely stunning.
Yeah,
I was showing Sherry photos earlier.
Unreal.
But there was that fire a few years ago.
Yeah.
And the Grand Hall part of it, they basically haven't tried to make the walls look nice again, if that makes sense. So they're all sort of, they're not burnt and black, but they're distressed.
That's quite cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just this humongous space and really beautifully decorated. But yeah, the walls were all like bare plaster, basically, yeah, cool. and crumbling. And yeah, it was gorgeous. The whole wedding was great. It was half Jewish.
Yes,
so it wasn't the Jewish dancing. They did the blessings under the kuppa.
Okay, huppa.
Huppa.
Yeah.
Not chuppa, is not what chuppa. People were saying.
Chuppa chup, no.
No, but no, it was beautiful. Like, I spent the whole day crying. Aww. It was great. But no, yeah, good
Can
times.
We see a photo of her dress?
I've not got it with me. Aww, I don't know who did her dress, but she was, yeah, very modern bride. She's got a seven-month-old baby, Dora, who's absolutely gorgeous. But she had this incredible sort of jeweled yellow headband on.
Wow.
And then, yeah, like a sequin sort of off-white sort of
culottes, amazing.
Long sleeve, huge heels. Like, yeah.
Oh, cool. One. Can you find me a face?
I will. Yeah, she looked great. She was always going to look great. But, and all the bridesmaids were in sequin jumpsuits, like various different colours and sizes, whatever they wanted, which looked really amazing as well. So, yeah, it was great.
That sounds like such a cool wedding.
Oh, it was fun.
Mm. I have to give a shout out to the bride at the wedding that I went to, because it was a second marriage for both of them. So she didn't want to wear white, and she wore this. So I always see it on the red carpet where it's like the cape look with the shoulder pads and then the cape coming down. And it was this kind of sequined ice blue, and she is a redhead. And so the colours, it just looked so incredible.
A jumpsuit or a dress?
It was a dress.
Yeah.
It was a dress. So it was like a kind of proper sort of full length, pleated sequins, everything. And then the cape. And it was just so lovely because obviously you don't want to have a veil maybe and, you know, tiaras and all of that when you're doing it for the second time. So it just was a statement.
Yeah.
And I think she did the outnet actually for this, a similar reason of if I'm not wearing white, but then I could end up buying something this season that someone else could actually wear. So, we were discussing it, saying, well, actually, if you go old, then no one should have it.
Yes.
I also think like, there are so many incredible dresses out there that aren't bridal.
Yeah.
And you know, you might, you see them on Net-a-Porter or on Matches and you're looking at them and you're like, well, when am I ever going to spend £1,500 or £2,000 on an incredible dress? Well, almost if you've done the white dress already, then that's that market, isn't it? Second time brides should be only looking at fabulous non-bridal dresses, because otherwise when the hell else? I love that.
Great.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Sherry. Off the subject of weddings, or are you going to talk about a wedding as well?
No. You know what? I wish I went to a wedding at the weekend, especially with such nice weather.
It was beautiful weather.
I love a wedding, but unfortunately, no. I did have a nice weekend, though. I had a sister Saturday with my older sisters, because there's four of us girls. So we
Four girls,
yeah.
How was that for your dad?
Well, my sister's got two boys. So we've got two nephews. So, yeah. He was pleased. But he's used to being around lots of women. But yeah, it was really nice. We went for brunch. Went to Park Chinwa, I think how you say it, which was really cool. And they had like a burlesque dancer. It was like immersive. They called it exquisite entertainment.
Speak for themselves.
Honestly. But it was really good. They had like a flamethrower. It was very extra, very out there.
Love that. But this is for dinner.
It was actually for brunch.
Oh, wow.
So we got there at 1 and then left at about 4. But it was slightly strange because it's downstairs in the basement, really dark, a really, really good DJ. I was like shazamming all the songs. I was like, this is a tune. And then you come out and it's like bright again. You're like, like I should be going out. But we did that and we went shopping just on like Regent Street. Again, we got, we were intercepted by the, what are they called again?
Extinction Rebellion.
That's the one. Interrupted by them. And then we actually had
Good cause, but pesky.
Yeah, good cause. Exactly. And then had a little shop around. And it was actually quite nice to, it wasn't too busy. Have a look in Liberty, see what's going on.
Did you buy anything?
I actually bought this quilted, I guess, jacket. Yeah.
It's a jacket.
I was going to say it's a jacket. From Zara.
Really nice
which is
one.
Really cozy.
And it's soft.
It's like,
yeah, it's soft, yeah.
It's very soft,
really
nice. But this is the first thing I've bought in months. Yeah, I've just been trying not to until it's like warmer weather.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird in between time,
it's so
isn't
much.
It?
And I'm the same, and I'm really glad I waited because now I'm having fun actually shopping. I also haven't shopped for like months.
It's hard. But not too much shopping, just a little bit of window shopping.
Nice.
Which is nice. And that was pretty much it.
Lovely.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. We had a 31st birthday party that was intended to be a surprise about a month ago. And then 2 days before, she was surprising him, and 2 days before he got COVID.
Oh.
So ended up telling him. So it was just picked up and moved. So it was slightly weird because it was A, a 31st, which also isn't that big a deal in the first place, and B, he then knew about it, so it sort of took away the didn't take away the fun at all. It was really fun, but it sort of took away the purpose
surprise.
Behind it.
Yeah.
Surprise. No. Anyway, it was very lovely, very civilised.
I liked what you wore.
Thank you. I wore my pink, I wore a pink pyjama suit, obviously. And yeah, it's got lots of lovely compliments. But I was more excited about the fact that I got to wear my new Loff Randall heels, which are my gold platform
I've got the, you know, the ones with the big bow, the minor golden platform, and put on some fun socks and was literally the most comfy person who's ever been out ever. So that was good. And then on Sunday, we went to the new exhibition at the V&A called Fashioning Masculinities, which is all about men's fashion through the ages, but specifically how men's fashion has been influenced by women's fashion throughout the ages. And I mean, throughout the ages is generous. It sort of starts, it kind of takes you through different elements of menswear. So it begins with undergarments. And actually that is sort of through the ages because that begins in like the 1600s. And there's a lot of like, there's actually some amazing Greek statues in there, or are they Roman statues, boss? So that kind of, that does go quite far back. But then it goes into, there's obviously a huge tailoring space. There's a whole section on colour. And it's all about how things that are now traditionally associated with female dressing were once upon a time all tropes of menswear. So whether it's pink or ruffles or whatever, textures, florals even, kind of how they've all made their way from menswear to womenswear. But some incredible pieces on display. There's everything from, you know, suits made. There were quite a few things that Billy Porter has worn. He definitely came up a lot, which makes sense.
David Bowie.
I don't remember seeing anything from
Bowie. There should have been.
There's a lot of Alessandro Michele for Gucci, obviously. And there's a few pieces that Harry Styles has worn recently. There was, and then there's a little bit of everything. There's like Joe Casely Hayford, and there's Gautier, obviously. There's a bit of Ralph Lauren. There's some Burberry. It's really beautifully curated selection of menswear kind of over the last, particularly the last kind of 100 years. And nice. Yeah, I really recommend it. So that was my weekend.
Great.
Oh,
nice.
Has anyone got anything to recommend? Anything you've watched, read? Georgina, what are you reading?
I am reading The Plot. I feel like I already mentioned it.
Yeah.
So I'm I think I'm at the turning point. I think it's about to get quite explosive. So
it turns at
the
very end, I'd say.
Oh, okay. I'm not at the turning point.
No, sorry.
Yeah, I got some way to go. Finished Bridgerton series 2 last night.
Any good?
I mean, not as good as series 1. It was watchable. It was good. Felt a bit Hollyoaks. I don't know.
Hollyoaks?
It just didn't feel as
exciting.
I just didn't think the acting was as good. Maybe the script's not as good.
I agree. I thought the acting was actually really poor.
Shame.
Lots of scenes I was actually laughing, but it wasn't a funny moment. I was
you're definitely not
my favorite. My favorite part of watching Bridgerton is guess the pop song that the classical orchestra's playing.
Me too.
And who's got the most heaving bosom in this scene, because they're obviously taught in a certain way to like push those boobs out in a quite this sort of, and it's quite extraordinary because there's a skill there.
I think I get short of breath if I try.
When I watch it, I actually feel myself shallow breathing.
And you heave your bosom
and like, and breathe. Oh my god. Yeah, anyway, so we finished that. It was I'm kind of glad it's over. Kind of how I felt when I finished Inventing Anna. I seem to be watching things that I'm looking forward to them finishing. But I have started, and I'm 2 episodes into The Split.
Oh yeah, I watched all that.
Oh, you've watched it? Oh, yeah, God. So I need to get going.
Do I need to watch it from the very beginning?
Yeah.
I don't mean should I watch this season. I mean, like, is it worth watching this season?
Yeah, I really like
100%.
It.
Yeah. I think it's worth watching. I think it's one of the classiest, slickest, best written things that have been on for ages.
Yeah. Oh, wow. High praise.
Yeah, that is
The acting is, I mean, talk about Bridgerton acting and The Split act. The acting is so good. Nicola Walker is, she's just like premium masterclass of... Everything that she does, you feel it. Yeah. And this one, 2 episodes, and I've sat with my tissues. I mean, it's just been quite a traumatic start to the series, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it get better?
Yeah, lighter? I'd say there's like a happy ending of sorts.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love Stephen Mangan.
Oh, he's brilliant.
I bet
you
also used to love Green Wing.
Yes,
yes.
100%.
Which, I mean, I remember queuing at HMV on Oxford Street to get a DVD of Green Wing.
Oh, I've still got mine under the bed.
Do you?
If anyone needs to borrow one.
So good. I used to fancy Mac so much.
Oh, yeah.
For those who don't know who Mac is, he's the guy who plays, this is so rogue, he plays the guy who walks into the press junket with Hugh Grant in Notting Hill. You know, when he pretends to be from Horse and Hound.
Yes.
And the guy, can you picture the guy? You know who I'm talking about. Yeah. Anyway, not that fanciful, but
no, but everyone
quite fanciful
fancied
in that series.
Him, yeah.
And that's when Stephen Mangan and Tamsin Grieg first worked together, and obviously they did extras. Which, anyway.
Such a good series.
Episodes, wasn't it?
That's what I mean. Sorry, episodes.
What was extras?
Extras is the Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
One. Anyway.
Heather, yes, anything to recommend for Split? Really good. Mm. Yes, excellent. But also, I know I spoke about it last week, the final episode of Severance was on Friday. Oh, yeah. And fucking hell, it's the best series I've watched in such a long time.
Okay, that's such a twist to how you felt about it last week.
No, I was really enjoying it last week, but it was just, it's deliberately very repetitive at the beginning, mm-hmm. because their working lives are very repetitive. But by the time you get, it's 9 episodes, and I think when I spoke last week, I'd watched 4, but then by the time I'd got to like 5 and 6, I was like, wow, what's going on, what's going on, what's going on?
Okay.
And the final episode was amazing. Like, okay. Ooh. So good.
Oh, you made me want to watch it.
Yeah, and there's now, yeah, second series has been announced. Okay. I'm like, where is it? I want to watch it immediately. Okay. I've been thinking about it since I watched it. So yeah, highly recommend. Okay. It's on Apple TV Plus, but yes. It's genuinely really good.
Okay. Good to know.
Yes.
Sherry, anything to recommend?
Perhaps more lowbrow.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, okay. So at the weekend, I watched the new Batman. The Batman. Oh, yeah.
The Batman.
Which Charlotte loved it.
I did love
well.
It, yes.
I really liked it as well. And then afterwards, my sister and I watched Twilight, because why not?
Just for some nostalgia. Our Pat's role.
Where it all
bats,
began.
They're calling him. Yes.
Exactly where it all began. But no, I've been watching on BBC Three, Love in the Flesh.
Oh, yes. I'm a massive Zara McDermott fan, so I'm here for that. I haven't watched it. Tell me how it's different to Love Island, because I can't tell from the trailer.
Okay, so in the beginning, there are various couples, I think there's about 5, and the premise is that they've all online dated before. So they've all either met on a dating app or Instagram.
They've all online dated each other before.
Yeah, but they've never met IRL.
Right.
So they've met on like an app or whatever. And then in this villa, which is Zara, she calls it her, what does she call it? It's like my holiday hut or something. Weird. So they meet for the first time in there. Right. And then it's to see like, is their relationship, will it work in the flesh? Mm-hmm. Or is it just like online? And some of them, it really does. Others, they have zero chemistry.
Oh, wow.
It's quite entertaining to watch them like get off with other people.
I was going
to
say, are they allowed to mix with
others? Yeah, yeah. And then halfway through, they bring
I suspect that's the point.
No, well, I know, but yeah, some, like that open house one you were talking about, they didn't meet the others.
Well, they did, and that was part of the problem. Ooh. No, it was explosive, but sorry, someone was asking about it in the office before, and they said that they watched it this weekend, and I said that I fell asleep in it this weekend, but I feel like it's a really sad thing to go back and watch on catch up. Like, I feel like that, it's just gone. I can't go back and watch that.
Yeah.
That's so tragic. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know what you mean. So yeah, they bring in new singletons, right. Who don't have any agenda. They're just single.
Have fun.
But yeah, it's very entertaining. Very, you know, it's light relief. It's pure trash, but I love it. And I watch it with my housemate, and we honestly Google everyone on Instagram, like, what's their story? Mm. Are they still together? Very like Love Island vibes. Mm. But it's a bit, I actually prefer it, because I feel like Love Island is very much, you know, they're all influencers, mm. all like models. These people are a bit more normal and just like everyday.
Mm. But pedestrian.
Everyday, yeah. But yeah, really
more average days in there.
Yeah, exactly.
And sorry, I just need, because I feel like I've heard the premise of this, and this is the thing I didn't understand about
yeah.
it. These people who've, when it says they've online dated before, why mm-hmm. have they not met? How long have they been speaking to each other? Why didn't they meet mm. in real life before? Or like, are they shy, or they yeah. live far away, or like, what?
So this is the
logistic thing.
Yeah, so this is the interesting thing. So some of them don't live in the same place and have been like chatting on like Hinge or whatever for like 2 months. There's one couple that have been like FaceTiming for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Five years. And they feel what? Like they have, I know, it's so strange. They've never met in the flesh until now.
I hope they work out. Don't tell me. I'll watch it now.
No,
but
yeah.
they work out. Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting to see like, how can you, almost like catfish, like not a catfish because they're not, but in the same kind of like sense, how can you have that relationship over text or yeah. WhatsApp or whatever? And then when you meet each other, it's very different.
Yeah.
So yeah, that bit is quite interesting.
Okay, that's really interesting. Mm.
Yeah. So yeah, I would highly recommend.
She's Zara McDermott's done a very clever rebrand. I know this is obviously quite trashy, but I feel like a lot of the Love Islanders go on to like not do an awful lot. And I think she's got like a pretty regular contract with BBC Three, I think.
Yeah.
Like she's doing documentaries for them on Upskirting.
She did, initial one, didn't she? About her experiences.
And there's another one. She's got another one coming up about eating disorders.
Yeah.
And the Upskirting campaign, she was in a whole thing with Olivia Colman. And I just think she's done very well for herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Seamless, but a good transition.
Yes, seamless is generous. Wasn't seamless.
A good transition.
She transitioned well. Yeah. Right, should we answer some questions? Let's make these quick fire today. Somebody says, best barista coffee shops. Where do you get your coffee from? Like, given the choice, where do you really rate for coffee? Georgina, are you a coffee drinker?
Yes, I am a coffee drinker, but only about one a day. Maybe 2 if I'm feeling tired. I actually make a lot of coffee at home, so I'm not sure.
What do you use?
I use, it's called Groundhog Coffee.
Okay.
I just use a good old cafetiere.
Oh, yeah.
Heat up a bit of oat milk and that's it.
Nice. Done. Really? So hang on, because I find cafetiere coffee too watery to put milk in.
Not if you, I have mine black. Can't comment.
So I put in...
Not if you, I don't do that.
No, I thought you just, I thought you were criticising the cafetiere method.
No, I like a cafetiere, but for black coffee.
Jumping in.
Only for black coffee.
As the French press. Yeah, the French press. So what I put in more coffee than is recommended, because I think it does need more. Thickening. So at least sort of 1.5 scoops, maybe 2. Mm-hmm. I then let it sit for like 4 minutes.
Oh, it's quite a long time.
Yeah. Mm. And then press it very slowly. Mm. Then I put in some milk. But I do actually think I use oat milk, and I think you need Oatly whole milk. Mm-hmm. If you use the Oatly skinny milk, you're basically putting water in your coffee and there's no
problem. Yeah, I use the whole milk anyway.
Yeah.
They do. What do you think, because I don't drink milk at all, like those sort of barista style oat milks or...
Yeah, but I think they're for good. Whipping. Do you heat yours up?
I sometimes do, sometimes don't. Kind of depends.
I use the Oatly style barista for... frothy.
And does it work?
Yeah, but I don't think the other one doesn't.
No, the other one does.
No, other milk alternative froths like oat milk.
Okay.
Yeah. So like almond milk or like
coconut.
They don't get the foam. Yeah. Whereas oat replicates normal milk, cow's milk,
in
the most frothy way, I'd say.
Yeah.
I love oat milk.
So I can't really answer the question about barista. Well, but the other place I like, though, if I was going to say another place that I like if I'm out is... It's on Northcote Road. There's only one. It's called Bluebird Brothers, and it's down a little side street off Northcote Road in Clapham. And they do really, really nice coffee.
Nice.
But there's a very long queue, so you have to be very patient.
Okay.
If it's worth
it. Good to know.
It's worth the wait.
I love a niche coffee recommendation. So that's what I'm after. Heather, where do you get your coffee? In London and in Brighton, please.
Let me think. I have written a feature on this before. I'll dig
and
it
at
out.
Home. You could probably do just like a me and my coffee.
And my coffee.
Me and my life and coffee.
Yeah, in London, I really like the sort of obvious ones like Monmouth, All Press, I think are really good. I really like Store Street Espresso as well. They've got a couple of those now that aren't all on Store Street, but they're really good. I just really like coffee. It's like hard to say, but like not, I don't like some chain ones. But I do think if you really were desperate for coffee, McDonald's does a really good coffee.
I
just putting it out there.
I would agree.
Genuinely.
Yeah. I was going to say that, but I thought, no, I can't say
You'd go for McDonald's over like a Starbucks or a...
Yeah.
I mean, I think Starbucks is the worst coffee in the world, but Pret is the worst. I also think their milks are rank. Why they don't use Oatly and why they use whatever weird, sweet... oatmeal they do anyway
but that's just
McDonald's.
An aside, like genuinely, like
because they're American,
I don't know, no, it's proper fair trade coffee and stuff, and whatever it is, they if you're desperate, I promise you they do really good stuff. Then in Brighton, Twin Pines does excellent coffee. In Kemp Town is like St. James Street is the best one. It's in terms of vibes as well. It's just like somewhere you could easily go for like an hour and you kind of order a second one because you want to stick around. It's a good place. But I mean, I could talk about this for ages. It's
okay, we'll do it next time we do a food.
Exactly.
Save a segment for coffee.
Yes.
Sherry, where do you get your coffee from?
Same as you, Georgina. I like to have it at home just because I like it to be extra hot. And just, you know...
Just right,
exactly.
Right, what do you put in it?
Just normal milk. I don't really like oat milk. I find it quite sweet.
It is sweet.
So just normal milk. I recently got a Sage Bambino coffee machine with a nice little frother, which is good.
Fair enough. And you find it really effective.
I do. Although if I'm out, I have to shout out. There's a pie and mash shop in Greenwich called Goddard's, which is OG. It's been there, I want to say, since Henry VIII time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really old. And I always go there with my dad as like an East End day
nice.
Out.
Love that.
But they do a lovely cappuccino. It's really good. And it honestly is about £1.30.
Oh,
so if you want
like these
proper London secret. That.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Okay. That sounds unreal. There's a pie and mash shop on Goulburn Road as well. And I'm desperate to go, but they open at really specific niche times. It's like 12 till 12:30.
I just say sort of like lunchtime.
lunchtime. When I say niche, I mean lunchtime when I'm not there. Anyway. Well, I'm going to give a shout out to everybody's only got their local places to recommend, haven't they? But I'm going to give a shout out to one in Queen's Park called Dark Habits, which, like our lovely lockdown bakehouse, which is here next to our office, which is really, I really rate their coffee, actually.
Yeah. And the one by the station. I never know what it's called because they keep changing their name.
Over Under. I rate them. They do make a good coffee, but they charge me 50p extra for decaf. Which was outrageous. And I took my coffee for £4 and I was like, I'm taking my business elsewhere. Really bad. Anyway, So dark habits, I think, like lockdown, started in lockdown. It's like you walk in and you're like, where, like, what is it? I don't know. It's like a room a bit like this. And then there's a man with a trestle table at the end who makes you a coffee. And they'll only do like, they won't do a cappuccino, but they will do a latte. No idea why. And then there's a trestle table over here. And you go, anyway, they've been around for 2 years now. And it's such good coffee. It's such good coffee. And there's a Gales. Nice. I mean, obviously Gales till I die, but it beats, it's superior.
Great name too.
Dark habits.
Mm. Yeah,
I know. Sums it up.
That was really quick fire.
Yeah, yeah. It's my specialist skill, quick fire.
Hot topic.
There's a lot of questions about anxiety. Somebody has said how to deal with anxiety before work/client calls.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And somebody else has said coping with anxiety and imposter syndrome at work. We've talked quite a lot about imposter syndrome in the workplace before, but in terms of anxiety before work things, I think... I'll weigh in here. I think there are all those exercises like, I mean, my dad has always said, envisage yourself to be the size of the room before, as you walk in. So imagine that you're 10 foot tall and like physically expanding like your Augustus Gloop. And, you know, you're going into a room and you're physically expanding to take up the whole space. And that automatically makes you feel kind of bigger and larger. And I mean, there's obviously the old imagine everybody on the toilet thing. Can't say I do that one, no. But I do also... I do also really believe in visualization, and before anything that makes me nervous, whether it's a podcast or something live, I will go into the toilet and I will shut my eyes for 10 seconds and imagine it going really, really well and imagine the best possible outcome and how fabulous it's going to be. And sometimes even before as the show credits are running, I'll do that. I'll be like, I'll just imagine how good it's going to be. And I find it really works. That's
yeah,
my
tip. I think that's a good,
yeah, it's good, a good one.
Positive visualization. I think it's just practice, isn't it? I know that's such a crap thing to say, but in terms of, say, client calls and something like that, I think you've just got to positive self-talk about you've done this before, you can do it. And a bit like you, like, just know that you're doing your job because you're good at it. Mm-hmm. So just trying to... you know, remind yourself of that before doing anything a bit scary. Also just bloody doing it as well. Like
feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah, I used to have to go to so many after work events in my previous job on my own, and you'd be expected to go to maybe 3 times a week. And yeah, just got to sort of
suck it out.
Yeah, walk in, grab your free glass of fizz and just talk to the nearest group of people and just sort of throw yourself in there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I also really believe, and I don't mean that you shouldn't be yourself, because obviously that's super important, but I think there's a lot to be said for the Sasha Fierce method of almost giving yourself a bit of an alter ego. I think I have a bit of a, not a work alter ego, but you sort of have to just kind of pretend that you're somebody who's fabulous at that and really confident. And mm-hmm. like, there are things I do in my job that I really wouldn't want to do in my personal life, but you just sort of have to make, you know, I think imagining that you're this kind of person, or, you know, that other persona who's super confident and happy to do these things is also really helpful. Mm.
There's a really good TED talk by Amy Cuddy, Fake It Till You Make It, but her kind of key line at the end, it's about 5 years old now, this is nothing new, but I do think it's so worth watching almost like every couple of years to remind yourself. And her kind of message at the end is, you don't have to fake it till you make it, you fake it till you become it. Mm. Because actually, when you change your body language, when you take up space, and going into the toilet beforehand and doing kind of exercises in front of the mirror, whatever it is, you actually change your body chemistry. Mm. So that then changes your confidence, and it's going to change how you feel and how you communicate. It's really worth looking up.
I also really think that faking those things in the workplace really then enables you in the rest of your life. Being able to fake this is obviously super personal to my job, but a lot of the things that I've had to do through broadcasting of them, I still don't love picking up the phone and calling a company, like, I don't know, Sky or BT, like, it's literally my worst thing. But you can sort of slip into that persona if it's something you're used to doing at work, or if I am in, you know, a social environment alone, I slip into the person who goes into work environments alone. And it's like developing a bag of tools for all areas of your life, which is no bad thing.
Mm. I was going to actually recommend, everyone knows about it now, but I really recommend the Headspace app. If you have like a few moments, because if you are feeling really anxious, it can sometimes present as quite physical things. Mm-hmm. It, obviously, everyone's anxiety is dependent on their... on the individual, but it has really good videos and also soundcasts. Some of them are like 3 minutes, some of them are 60 seconds, and also they're very specific. So you can go into like work feeling anxious because of like X, Y, Z, and then you can choose either a man or a woman. And it's really calming, and it's good for like breathing exercises, because sometimes I think you just need to take a minute and just take stock, and then have a few deep breaths, few bits of meditation, and then... I think it can only help, hopefully.
Yeah.
I think also like planting your, I mean, a really quick thing is like put your feet on the ground, hold the table, like ground, literally physically ground yourself, take your breaths, close your eyes. And often three big breaths is a kind of enough. And then you can get into, like you were saying, there's obviously box breathing and all sorts of other breath work. I think it all comes down to breathing if you want something to physically relieve. Symptoms of anxiety.
The only other thing as well that I'd recommend is being really prepared. Like that's a more kind of practical thing, but I know that the times I'm most nervous about anything is when I know that I haven't prepared as well as I could have. So I just think do the work before, and then there's nothing to be nervous about, is there?
If you know what you're talking about. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, good question. This is topical. I went to two separate friends' new houses this weekend. Somebody says, housewarming presents for first-time buyers, not too spenny, not too expensive. What do you buy people when they've just moved into a house?
I always go to Anthropology, especially the one on Regent Street. It always has a nice gift, usually like a nice vase. I think a good gift is something that you wouldn't necessarily want to buy for yourself,
agreed,
but want to receive. Or like some nice glasses, like some champagne flutes.
Candlesticks. Nice candles. Smelly candles or dinner candles, I think are really nice.
Smelly candles.
You know what I mean.
Scented, I think
scented,
is the word.
Smelly.
From our interior editor.
Yeah.
Just fill your home with smelly candles all the time.
It's nothing worse than a scented candle that's not smelly.
It's true. Deeply upsetting.
I think ceramics actually in general, because that is the kind of thing people... don't buy themselves.
Yeah.
Don't buy that annoying thing where you get someone like two napkins. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not helpful. Well,
or two coasters.
Two coasters.
Yeah. No. Yeah. When we got engaged, we got a lot of like two mugs and that. Like unmatching mugs is my worst thing.
Yeah.
So I bought different things for both friends. One I bought, you know, those cabbage style plates, but in white. She's not a green girl. So I got four of those. So, well, I did buy two plates for the other person, but they're like, you could present, you know, they
like serving plates.
Serving plates. There's an Otto Lengi collab with Cerax and they're all matches and they're very attractive. So that
sounds like more of a platter, Charlotte. I think you got away with it.
They're not platters, Georgie. They're definitely side plates, but you could definitely use them to put some things on. So it's fine.
Okay, you're off the hook.
I'm off the hook. Heather, what else do you get people?
Yeah, same, like Anthropology or Arquette. They have, because they're, some of their stuff's quite minimal. It feels like it could go in most people's homes. And again, I think, glassware is a good shout.
Or
really
vase.
Good shout. Like something that's not too, like, unless you really know them dead well, like, even if you've seen their previous places, they might have other visions for what they want from their new place. So don't go for anything too bold, I suppose.
Agreed. Someone has asked, and this is niche, any new tampon recommendations or period products in general? I don't want to use Tampax anymore. I used Flo for quite a while. We've got quite a good stash of Flo upstairs, haven't we?
Yeah, and I rate it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with this person on generic tampons because it's a lot of plastic. A lot of plastic.
Flo's bamboo, isn't it?
Flo's bamboo. And they are wrapped in a tiny bit of plastic, but there's no applicator. And for me, it's the applicator that is quite so offensive. I've just bought a period cup. Which I'm quite I bought it at the end of my last period, so I haven't used it yet. Someone on our team was saying the other day how much they absolutely swear by it and they will literally never go back, and I feel quite tempted by it. I also always forget to change my tampon. About you guys, but like it gets to 9 hours and I'm like, oh, better go and do it. So it's good for lazy girls like
me. I'm scared by teenage toxic shock syndrome stories in Ms. Magazine.
I mean, there's awful stories. Has anyone else tried any alternative period products? Georgina, I'm looking at you.
Well, I've had the coil for about 10 years, so I actually haven't had a period for a very long time.
But you like that? Like, I feel like I need to have my period to I guess I'm just scared. I'm scared of being pregnant. I just feel like that's what my body's supposed to do.
Well, no. I'm really happy. And but the thing with the coil is you don't produce the buildup of the lining in the womb that needs to therefore be flushed out, as it were. Mm-hmm. So because that never happens,
you don't
it's
need
not
period.
Like you've got, because I was like, oh, why would you want to have that? Because then you've got this like massive buildup of a lining after, you know, and it's never being expelled. Mm. But actually, that doesn't even happen.
Okay.
Or so I understand. Right, yeah. Someone might say, actually, you're completely misguided.
A 1,000 linings in there.
Because I've been on the pill for 12 years, and only once in those 12 years have I ever rolled the pill over, like from months to miss a period, done a back-to-back pack. Mm. And it was the worst. There's a reason I've only ever done it once. It was about 10 years ago because my body was like, give me a period. It was like crying for a period. It was so desperate for it. I could, like, every symptom was like, rah. So that's why I think that's why I want
this is not.
No, it's not that. Exactly. You're saying it's not that. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So sorry, not very useful on the period.
Cherry, any alternative period products?
Oh, gosh. No, sorry. I don't have any to recommend. I just use Tampax or honestly, just like, Aldi's own is quite good.
Really? Like, whatever's on special offer, because they're expensive.
They're really expensive, and I always resent buying them every single month.
I so resent. Well, they're heavily taxed, aren't they? And it's one of those things I always forget to buy, and then it's so. It's like, and then I buy it like 3 days in anyway.
Yeah.
That's my cup. I'm very excited.
Grateful there's a stash upstairs.
There is.
The thing about the cup, I've been like tempted by those before, but it's more like if you're at work and having to empty and clean it out. But I think it's because in my head, I'm picturing there's a hell of a lot more blood than there probably is. So I'm kind of picturing a sort of Lady Macbeth style thing in the sink, you know?
like a massacre situation, which is what I thought as well. But the person in our office who told me about it said that you... Basically, sorry, this is graphic, but you tip it down the loo before you rinse it out.
I agree.
I was imagining myself in like our one toilet washing it out, which is really gross. But also you can use it for 12 hours. So the point is you wouldn't need to do that at work,
That's
right?
That's true. Mm.
Well, if the idea of alternative period products appeals to you, we are actually working in partnership with a brand called Wooka at the moment, who do basically all different types of period everything. So whether your flow is super heavy or medium, or whether you like a thong or a hipster short, or even I'm just looking at their website and they actually have a pair of leggings, period leggings as well, for working out. They basically have it all. They're a little bit more of an investment than a normal pair of pants. They're around £25 each, and they basically say that each pair holds 20 milliliters of period flow, which is 4 tampons worth. So that's basically your entire day. So they claim that 8 hours of use, leak proof, breathable and heavy flow, and then you literally just stick them in the washing machine and wear them again. Sounds much less likely to develop toxic shock syndrome, which I can't say, and B, if you are sick of all the plastic, then
much better for the environment.
Sherry, you said before that you've tried a pair.
I actually have, I think it's good for overnight, or if you're like camping or something, or I don't know, you just want something really easy.
Somewhere you're not going to have toilet access.
Exactly, and you're a bit worried you can't change your tampons. So.
Overnight is such a good point, because I always stress, I definitely spend more than 8 hours in bed because I love bed, and then I never know what to do. I always do just wear a tampon for a really long time, but that's really bad. And I wake up in the morning like pranging about how much I need to take it out.
Well, I think it's good if you usually wear tampons at night. It's good for not wearing them like back to back to back. And it was really easy. Put them in the wash, and I think they're usually quite dark. They're not going to be like white. They'll be like black.
They are black. Yes,
exactly. So
yes, they're not white and frilly.
So you don't really see anything anyway. But yeah, good.
Yeah, I am tempted. I've thought about it for the last couple of years. Should probably give one a go.
Okay, I'll go away and try my cup. You go away and try the Wooka pants, which sound amazing, and we'll all report back. Okay, finally, let's have from periods to food. It is Easter weekend this weekend. Somebody has said, what would you cook for your friends for Easter weekend that isn't a roast for lunch or dinner?
I've got a feature going tomorrow on that exact thing. So do have a look at it, because it will be live by the time you listen to this. But no, I spoke to lots of lovely Italian women who were like, they have a sort of always have roast lamb, but kind of in various different ways. So it's not like with the mint sauce and all the heavy things. Lots of people suggested, yeah, making amazing lamb ragouts, but also, you know, like sort of Italian style where you just got all the nice salads as well. And yes, you can have some nice roasted potatoes as well with your sort of spaghetti and ragu and stuff. So yeah, just a little bit of everything that perhaps feels a bit more relaxed.
I do think Italian as well is the best hack for if you want lazy entertaining, because you can just like slice some tomatoes and put some broth on a plate and be like,
Here you go.
That's true.
Georgina, what will you be making this Easter weekend?
Well, I mean, it would be roast lamb, I have to say, quite traditional when it comes to festivities like that. But I am really into kind of big sharing platters, so very much on board with the Italian style. I also think it's really nice when you have a crowd of people to have food that can be eaten slightly lukewarm. Because I think by the time everything gets passed round, so I would probably get some big kind of sheets of puff pastry and make some tartlets up fresh, like a meat one, a veggie one, or something fishy. Then salads with grains, which have a bit of, you know, substance to them. Yeah, and I went to a friend's house the other day, actually, and she had done, talking about bruschetta, she had done lots of little bits and some kind of fig and parma ham and others with more tomato. So, yeah, really nice.
I think basically the point is you can do a roast lamb, but then everything else doesn't have to be like traditional roast.
Yeah, exactly.
Sherry?
Yeah. Yummy. Yeah, I love a bit of a roast lamb on a Sunday, but my favourite is usually on the Friday because it's very traditional to have fish. My dad bought a deep fat fryer Black Friday, and he's only allowed to use it once a year. Honestly, my mum's very strict.
So no Mars bars or deep fried Oreos.
No, so like some calamari, something very fresh, fishy. I don't know, like some sea bass with some salsa verde something very seasonal, light, I think. And then you can save room for lots of hot cross buns and chocolate. More importantly,
that's a good show.
On the show this week, Summer Pine, who is our gorgeous food contributor, has made an alternative Easter feast. And it is a big side of salmon done with lots of Asian flavours. So lemongrass and a coconut broth and chili and some rice on the side. So something completely non-trad, but actually she lays it all out beautifully on her Easter table.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
Yeah, something a bit different if you want something fresh and fishy.
Delicious.
All right, I'm off to Mallorca.
Oh,
I can't wait.
Nice.
I know, unless my flight gets cancelled again.
Oh, don't. It's looking bad as well, isn't it?
It's looking really bad. It has already been cancelled.
Oh, shit, sorry.
So now we're on the Gatwick at 8:30, but I don't live that close to Gatwick. Anyway, super boring. But anyway, wish me luck. Hopefully I get there. Plenty of fresh fish for me. There we go.
Calamari.
All right, thank you so much for listening. If you have any feedback, then do email podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget to look out for the question box every weekend on the Sheerlux stories on Instagram too. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.